Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Conscious Cool Chic Radio. I am your host, Molly McCord. Thank you for being here. I just took a sip of my favorite green tea. And as the show begins, I like to make sure that we all just take a minute to deeply breathe and to make sure that the breath you are taking is really expanding your lungs out and filling up your diaphragm with fresh air. This is conscious breathing. And it's so important that we practice that because we can go through the day unaware of how much we're really breathing properly. So I'd like to start this show by just taking a moment to sit, make sure that you're really breathing deeply, that you're really inhaling and feeling the expansion of your lungs, of your diaphragm. And you should even feel it out your back. Your back could even feel this expansion. And then just let it go very softly, very gently, a wonderful release. And as we practice this type of conscious breathing, it can really change our connection to our presence. So, just like to start the show on that note, I think it's a delicious moment to have. Today we're talking about soul growth and spiritual life cycle stages. We're looking at how to communicate with other people who are at different places on their spiritual journey, including those who are just beginning to awaken. I will share with you some real-world examples of how to have conversations or how to communicate regardless of where somebody is in their growth. So this is really important right now. We need to have ways to communicate with other people who are curious about spiritual topics, who are interested in expanding their consciousness, anyone who just maybe has some questions, anywhere from, you know, what is consciousness to if they're inquisitive about what it means to be a light worker or what is an empath or an indigo. You may have people in your life with these questions. And so I want to give you some insights and ways to navigate these conversations so that you are staying true to yourself as well as conversing with someone in a very honest and respectful manner. So this is called one of our 2014 spiritual themes. And if you've been listening to this show for a while, you may remember that back in January I did a show all about the 2014 spiritual themes, which are energy themes that I received from spirit. I literally sit down at the computer and say, okay, I'm ready, and I get information about the year ahead. I did this for 2013, and it was incredible to see how those themes transpired. And this is one of the themes for 2014. If you go to the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com, and you look under Free Awesomeness there at the top navigational bar, you'll see the drop-down for 2014 spiritual themes. And you can look at the other topics that came through from guidance about this year. And you can also go back and listen to that original show in January. All of these shows are available here on Blog Talk Radio as well as on iTunes. And if you want to stay connected to this program, just click follow on the Blog Talk Radio page. So before we dive into this topic, a few announcements for you. It is one of the biggest astrological weeks of the year. It's April 23rd, and we are moving through the Cardinal Grand Cross, which I talked about more in some previous shows as well, so I'm not going to go into it too much right now, other than to recognize that this is a big time. And I know that many of you are feeling it, and you could feel alone in feeling it. But I want to reassure you that you are not. And just this week alone, I've received a lot of emails from people talking about their experiences, crazy dreams going on. You might feel a lot of hunger. You might need to sleep more. You might feel you just have to move your body more. I spoke with a woman who said she's having a great week. And there's something wrong with her because she heard all this, you know, negative gloom and doom talk. And that's wonderful. If you're having a great week or you're moving through this energy and feeling very confident and strong, own it. Yes, good. Be in that space. We have a lot of shifts happening on multiple different energetic levels right now. And so you don't always see it happening in your physical environment, which is why the dreams could be stronger. The dream messages could be more vibrant. It could be that you're feeling it energetically. You're feeling it around other people. Maybe you just need more time to yourself. Even if it's after work, coming home, and you know you just want to escape into the bathtub or have some quiet time somewhere in the house to read or something, you just might need more space right now. It's also important to note that these big astrological transits don't just happen one day or one week. It's part of a bigger story, a bigger wave of energy that's moving through humanity and the globe right now. So we're going to see more things transpire and come about in the months ahead. And it's just a time of the year that I've been referring to as the Big Bang energy, in that we're breaking out. You know, there's revelations, there's transitions, there's evolution occurring now. And we might look back on April 2014 for the changes we experienced individually or collectively, or just the changes we experienced throughout 2014 that supported us in developing and owning more of who we are. So all that to say, please take good care of yourself throughout the rest of April. We have a new moon solar eclipse on April 29th that is also going to be quite catalyzing. So the adventure continues, right? Another announcement to share with you is that the classes I'm offering right now, the free marketing courses called Author Awesomeness, have been going on, and you can still sign up on the website. They're always open classes. Join anytime. This week, I'm talking about what not to do when you're promoting a book or your business. People who join this course are not only authors, they are healers, coaches, teachers, holistic professionals. So anyone who needs marketing support, especially in the spiritual niches and industry, you're going to benefit a lot from these free courses. And just this week, I saw a spiritual author do a promotion for a free book that is a mistake. In terms of he's missing out on some potential results, and it creates, when you do this mistake, it creates long-lasting results that you're not aware of. And so that's why I just want to share it with you and say, please don't do this. Whatever you're doing and sharing your business, or your book, please don't do this. So join the course and you'll discover what that mistake is and you'll make sure not to do it. Also, I'm going to share with you more ways to amplify your message by doing certain things and not doing certain things. So it's going to be a good class, so check that out. The next one will be April 24th. And one more announcement is that I create these downloads for you, these monthly guidance downloads. And the May download, May 2014 download, is live. And there was really good information that came through about May in terms of anchoring your energy and really feeling strong in that, especially with the self-love. Other themes for May include strengthening your throat chakra and why the middle of May supports really deep transformation. So you can find out more about these monthly downloads on ConsciousCoolChic.com under Shop Awesomeness. They're called monthly guidance. So I hope those help you. I really just want to put together as many tools as I can for you so that you can navigate the journey with confidence and strength and ease. On that note, a few weeks ago, we had a guest on the show, Susanna Kennedy, and she shared with us her expertise about being connected to paradise. And I strongly recommend you listen to that radio show if you missed it. She guided you through a free mini workshop in recognizing what parts of you were ready to be detoxed. It was actually also part of a soul activation. And so it's a very powerful free workshop. You can still listen to it here on this broadcast. But she also is offering these DIY emotional mental detox kits. And I put the link in the show description, so you can just click on that link and go on over. It shows the price expires March 7th, but I believe it's still active. I believe you can still get a deal on this do-it-yourself download kit that guides you through emotional and mental detoxification of different layers of your energy. It's really beautiful work, and I think it's really important right now as we're moving through these big transitions, and for you to feel really in charge of yourself and to get rid of any guilt or lack or hurt or fear or pain, you know, all those things that we experience in our human lives. So please check that out, or you can go right to the website. It's realitycrafting.com/CBC. Okay, so I'm going to take one more grounding breath, one more really deep breath here. I invite you to do the same. We're going to talk about the different spiritual life cycle stages that we experience on our spiritual journey. Now, when we say a life cycle, that implies, obviously, cycle, a wheel that's constantly churning. We are always mastering something and beginning something new. We are always learning new information as a student, which we then can turn over and share as a teacher. And this is something that goes on throughout our life. It happens in physical ways, it happens in mental ways, emotional ways, and spiritual ways. And so we're going to focus on the spiritual components of this. And as I shared with you, the information I receive about these topics is from my guidance, and I just, you know, write it out as it comes. I don't question it. And the image I was shown was of a butterfly moving through its cycles. Just as an example, a very basic example of this life cycle stage, because perhaps when you were in elementary school, you studied basic biology, and it's the butterfly that's an example. And so it's important to break this down into simple terms, because then it's easier for us to grasp, understand quicker. And so the four different life cycle stages that came through were spiritual infants, spiritual children, spiritual teenagers, and spiritual adults. This is not about chronological age. It isn't about how many books you've read or how long you've been on your spiritual journey. It's about how you are actively and responsibly continuing to learn on your spiritual path and transmuting energies as you go. What's interesting about these stages is that it also does not pertain to celebrity or fame or anyone in the public eye, because there are numerous young souls who are famous. There are numerous young souls who chose at a soul level to experience fame as part of their spiritual journey and spiritual growth opportunities. So it's important to know that there is no obvious hierarchy out in the world. It is an energetic dynamic. And so every stage has its lessons, potentials, healing capabilities, and gifts. We might think, oh, I'm a spiritual adult, or I want to be a spiritual adult. And sure, there is a lot to be said for being a spiritual adult. But as you know, as being an adult means you have more responsibility, right? You're perhaps a little bit more realistic. So I'm going to go through some of the defining characteristics of each of these. For spiritual infants, they are interested in simplicity, stability, comfort. There's a focus on basic survival needs. There's a focus on even being taken care of as an infant would, but it could be highly unconscious. So this would pertain to ego needs. And an excessive need for validation, acknowledgement, for others to take care of their spiritual self. And because of this, a spiritual infant is very, very in the moment. There is no long-term perspective. And because of that, there could be a lack of interest in personal growth and development, because it doesn't matter what I could become or where I could grow or be in 5 years, I'm just concerned about right now. As I'm describing each of these, you might have people who come to mind in your life, in your world, as an example of these energy archetypes. The second, spiritual children. Spiritual children are curious, playful. They don't make commitments, no commitments. They like to repeat what is popular. They perhaps play follow the leader, what someone else is doing. It's like, I'm a child and I'm following my parent. I'm a child and I'm looking at what adults do and I repeat what they do, their mannerisms, their language. Children are learning. They are very in the moment and present, but they have a concept of next week, next month, when's Christmas, when's my birthday. It can also be a little bit more egocentric because it is about fulfilling one's own needs. And they can also be content with status quo. This pertains to having limited responsibility. Because when you're playful and free and young and out in the world and running around on the playground, that's really what you're all about. And so somebody at this stage in their spiritual growth is quite playful and curious. They do follow the leader. You know, they do follow the guru. They buy the guru's books, or they subscribe to everything the guru says. And they also unconsciously have a limited understanding of other perspectives or the bigger world. Because if you only know one playground, you don't have any other concept to go off of, right? It's like, well, my playground is right there on the corner. I don't even know that there are multiple playgrounds in the world. Spiritual teenagers. This is a little bit more of a, it's an exploring energy, right? It's, I think about a teenager, like you, no one can tell you what to do. And so there is a desire to explore and to try things out for yourself. There's more independence here. And so somebody at this spiritual stage, you know, could be exploring a lot of information and taking a lot in. They are perhaps developing a little bit of righteousness because they believe that what they know is best and it's part of their identity without respect for others and their point of view. So in this way, spiritual teenagers, they can have a righteousness. They can be reckless because there is this ability to just throw energy around or throw words around. And they're learning through these experiences, ideally. They're integrating as they go. And so it's like if you were to be very careless with a certain perspective, or if you were to say something offensive and, you know, somebody said, oh, well, actually, I think of it differently, and you had a conversation about that, hopefully then there would be an integration period where the spiritual teenager would say, oh, okay, I learned from that. I now am opening up to the bigger world and understanding that other people have different perspectives. Spiritual teenagers are also, they are more prone to extremes, to wanting an extreme, right? Like, push me over the edge. I'm going to take this as far as I can go with it. And there's something here, too, though, that is quite invigorating, right? Where you can be exploring a lot, or you can go really deep into something and integrate it and have that be a part of your knowledge base. A healthy spiritual teenager can stay open to exploring and, you know, rise up in their maturity level and their responsibility level. And then that's where we get to a spiritual adult, which is somebody who has those levels of maturity and that openness. It's almost like, yeah, I've been around the block. Yeah, I know how this plays out. I've explored other understandings, other philosophies, other cultures, other religions. I've explored more and I've determined what's right for me. And so there can be a solidness there. But there also, ideally, is a respect. Ultimately, as a spiritual adult, you arrive at respect for yourself and what nourishes you, what works for you, and you hold that same level of respect for others. You're less reckless. You're not really righteous because you don't need to be. You're not trying to prove anything. You're confident, stable, great listeners. I would say that spiritual children and spiritual teenagers, great talkers, right? Because they have a lot to share and to put out into the world. They want to make their mark and leave their imprint. Spiritual adult can balance that. It's embodying your mastery, your teacher role. It's understanding the bigger picture. Spiritual adults are often a little bit more humble because maybe they have some bumps and bruises. This can be the case if you grew up with a organized religion background and you've seen certain parts of organized religion or other philosophies taken too far, and perhaps on some level it just didn't fit for you. It was no longer in alignment with who you are. And now as a spiritual adult, you use that experience to fortify who you are now, and you also can understand that other people have the right to their perspectives and what works for them. Spiritual adults can also feel heaviness at times, can feel obligation, can feel weariness. And so as a spiritual adult, it's important to find ways to continually surrender, relax, and trust. It's not your burden to carry. You know, if you're feeling that way, it means something is out of balance for you, where you're taking on more than your share, which can come from a very good place. And I think that can be an unconscious energy. It's like you want to improve the world. You want to help people heal. You want to open them up. And so it can feel initially very inspiring and invigorating, but then the heaviness, the weariness can set in if you aren't taking care of yourself. And so you can't only be taking care of infants, children, and teenagers. You have to also take care of yourself. And that's an important balance point for spiritual adults. And so one of the main lessons, if you will, with the spiritual life cycle is communication. Communication, because we need to be open to talking to others no matter where they are on their spiritual path. Whether they are curious and open or they have no interest at all. There's ways to be in conversations with people that respect them and respect you. And I feel that this is one of the main themes right now, because more and more people are awakening and they're becoming curious. So let's talk about, you know, how would you answer the question about what is a light worker? What is an empath? What is an indigo? What is a starseed? Have you ever thought with that? Like if you sat and thought of those answers in very basic terms for yourself, it's one more thing in your toolkit, right? And so for a light worker, you could say, well, my understanding is that a light worker is somebody who is in certain situations that are perhaps difficult or trying or dark or hard, and they are there to bring in a light, like a higher perspective, whether that is love or change, or they are there to help people evolve or to grow. There's so many different ways that, you know, people can be a light worker. I recommend a wonderful book called Light Worker, A Call to Authenticity. You can find it on Amazon. It's by Lloyd Matthew Thompson, Light Worker, A Call to Authenticity. Awesome book. And that could be one for you to read or for you to recommend to somebody who is curious about what it means to be a light worker. So not only do you want to have answers, but resources to share that allows other people to pursue their curiosities in their own way, in their own time. And this is so important, is we always have to honor what is best for someone else. But you can provide resources and books. Another one, indigo. What is an indigo? How would you describe an indigo to somebody? And, you know, to most people, it's just a color. It's the color of their genes, right? But for those of us who understand the spiritual component, well, an indigo is here to change things up. An indigo is here to change systems, to break things apart, to break through. It's typically so people who feel very different in the world, who feel like an outcast. And that's because they're here to lead energy, to break things up. These are whistleblowers. These are people who stand up against bullies. These are people who do something very brave, or who say, this isn't working, let's try something else. They're innovators. They're inventive. If you are an indigo, I recommend another great book. It's called Indigo Adult. You can find it on Amazon, Indigo Adult. Good information there to understand yourself more. But this will just give you an idea of how to basically answer very simple questions for people. You know, if you're speaking with a spiritual infant, spiritual child, you probably aren't going to have a long conversation. It's going to be very, you know, quick and dirty. It's going to get right to the point, and that's it. So I would recommend that you think about some of these definitions and how you would share them. And I have an example of how this has worked in my life. I am a certified ESL teacher. English is a second language. And after becoming certified, I volunteered at a local college here where I live to teach a few days a week. And I would go to the college and work with adult international students who had different levels of understanding about the English language. In one classroom, there would be students who had years of English language studying, and they were just constantly learning more. And so they had a good grasp on the language. Also in the same room, there were people who literally just arrived in the country and did not speak English and could barely write their name. And then we have everything in between, the full spectrum. And so I would arrive in these classes not knowing who I would be working with. And what would happen is that the class would be broken up into, say, four or five different groups. And I, as a volunteer, would sit at one table with one group of students. And we would have a task to do. And so I had to just be ready for whatever level I'd be working with that day to jump in and meet their needs. I had to meet them where they are. And that's really important to understand, is that you have to meet somebody where they are with respect, with an understanding that they deserve the best information you can give. This is where I see a lot of spiritual elitism or even condescending energy. It's where people who, spiritual adults who have been on this journey for a long time, oh, they just can't bother with the basics. Or, oh, I just don't know how I could have a conversation about that. Like, just go look it up online. And let's be real, that's rude. It's rude, and it's disrespectful. Because if somebody is trusting you to ask you a question or information, you have the opportunity there to further develop and build that trust and to be an ally for them. So I would show up in this classroom, and I would be, you know, ready to go with whatever I was needed to do. Well, I would sit down with the more advanced group, and they would keep me on my toes. I'm not kidding, because I don't know if you've ever studied the English language. It depends on your native tongue. But the English language is really hard to learn. And those of us who are native English speakers don't realize that. But it's a very inconsistent language. There's lots of rules. There's lots of things that contradict themselves. There's words that can be used multiple different ways. Lots of idioms and all these different types of things that make it a hard language to catch on with. You have to really study. And so I would sit down with this more advanced group, and they would ask me all these questions that I never even thought of, because I just assumed it was true, or I just always understood it to be true. So when I was with the more advanced groups, they kept me on my toes and also made it really fun and interesting. And there were times when I would receive a question and I wouldn't know the answer for whatever reason. And people can ask really deep questions, and I would just say, well, I know I'm not really sure, but I know how to look that up, so let me get back to you next week or tomorrow. You can always do that if somebody asks you a question you're really not sure, because then you're demonstrating credibility. You're not lying. You're not making something up to sound good. You're just honest about what you do or don't know. So I work with these advanced adults, and it's really important to be a good listener, to ask questions back if you need them to clarify a question. And so when you're engaging with people at different spiritual levels of understanding, it is a dialogue. It's an active conversation. And it's also really a great way to share your stories, to share what impacted you, whether it's a book or it's a certain teacher that you've always resonated with, or if you attended a workshop If you really enjoy something like, say, crystals, then share what it is you've learned. So in your communication with people, share yourself, like share your own personal experiences, because that's what people are looking for. They want to know, okay, this is all the knowledge out there, but how did it impact you or how did it affect you? So when I was working with these ESL adult students, I would share with them my personal experience. And I actually had a lot of compassion and could heavily relate to them because I have lived in another country and I had to really study the language intently. So I know what it's like to be in their shoes. And so put yourself in someone else's shoes. Remember where you were previously on your journey. What first started to awaken you? What was it? Was it a book? Was it a teacher? Was it, you know, a psychic? What was it? And go back in time to who you were then. Because again, it's up to you to build that bridge and to figure out what that connection point is. Now, as I worked with people that I would consider spiritual infants. So in this ESL classroom, I would have days where I sat down with women who have been in the country for probably a few months. They were typically African women from different countries in East Africa who came here with their husband, with their family, and all their lives they were in charge of taking care of the kids, raising babies, and cleaning. And they came to the U.S. and literally don't know how to write their name. And so when I would sit down with these women, we would look at very basic things. We would talk about colors. We would use different like cutouts of from magazines or different toys. Our conversation was very, very limited because we used visuals to communicate. And so it would be something as simple as, you know, which of these cars is red, which of these, which room in the house is the kitchen, the bathroom, where do the children sleep, very basic things because that's where they were in their understanding of the English language. And so I always had to speak a little slower, think about the terms I was using, and work on the physical gestures to create a connection. And so this is an example of speaking with somebody who is what we call a spiritual infant or even a spiritual child, is that you need to break it down into very simple components. Respectful. I mean, you're talking to an intelligent person, most likely. This is just new information. So these women I worked with are just, you know, great, strong people. They just didn't speak English, and so we were trying to find our common ground, right? That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to find a common ground here, and it's probably going to be very basic for you. And I'll be honest, those teaching to that level was a lot harder for me, because I had to break things down to their most simplest components, and that required a lot of on-the-spot problem-solving, because I couldn't use my standard communication skills. So when you're working with somebody or speaking with somebody who this is all new, they will ask you, what does energy mean? What is divine? What is divine? What are the chakras, right? And if you're proficient in these terms, it could even make you laugh because you think, oh, gosh, how do I even explain this? So part of being on a spiritual journey and a spiritual path is finding ways to communicate with others that brings them in, that honors where they are, respectful, that is open, that directs them to perhaps beginner books or beginner resources. Also knowing that if you were to reference certain people, those people could be brand new to them. They might never have heard of them before. For example, in the spiritual world, we know Deepak Chopra. Not everyone does. I mean, he's a master in this industry, and people might kind of know him through his work with Oprah or through other channels, but it's almost like we can't make assumptions. So don't make assumptions when you're communicating with somebody, and be ready to break something down into very small, digestible bits of information. So if somebody asks you about the chakras, you say, well, there's 7 energy points. Each energy point is connected with a different color and a different energy. They pertain to knowledge that's been passed down for thousands of years. I would give a lot of facts, and then also maybe know some resources that somebody can look into, whether it's a book or a website, because then it's not only on you to have to explain all this stuff, but again, you're allowing them to explore and figure it out and be curious. Also, I think it's important to see how every person you converse with or you connect with is a gift to you, and you are a gift to them. And maybe they shrug off what you say. They don't care. It doesn't resonate. They might be disrespectful. They might be rude. You know, it could go in many directions. It's a great way for you to maintain that spiritual adult energy of maturity, openness, acceptance, and realism. Because not everyone's interested in spiritual growth or the stuff that is new agey. So, but at the same time, you never know what sticks in someone's brain. It could be that their conversation with you lingers for a long time. And maybe you mention something about the chakras and they're like, oh, I don't get it. And then 2 weeks later, they hear about the chakras again. And they're like, what's with the chakra stuff? And then later on, they hear about it again. And it becomes like something that they just keep seeing everywhere. And then they're spurred to discover more. So you never know. You never know how these things play out, but chances are that if you find yourself engaging with somebody about a topic, that it's divinely happening. It's a gift for you, a gift for them, and that it's part of this global awakening that's happening right now. And we need to have ways to communicate with each other. We need to have ways where we share this information that's respectful, open, engaging, practical. I would invite you to think about some of the basic concepts and how you would explain them, how you would talk about them. Perhaps look at your own personal experiences through your spiritual journey. Maybe even go back in time to what you perceived and what you knew before your spiritual awakening or spiritual curiosity kicked in. I remember for me that was in 2002 was the first time I had a spiritual awakening, and that began with a conversation with a psychic and the understanding about energy and how it works, and that I was powerful in making my choices and directing my life. I never heard that before. I didn't get it. But she gave me really inspiring information that even if I didn't understand all about energy and intentions and all of that, I understood what it felt like to be inspired. And so to go back in time and to think about who I was before my spiritual awakening, in some ways it's hard to remember that, but it's also really important. So I've devoted time to it. I've thought, okay, how do I talk about this with someone who has no idea what I do or isn't really interested? I think it's important to remember, being at that point right before your world expanded. So I hope that is a good takeaway for you for this topic and to know how much power you have in these conversations and in sharing information that fits for people. On that note, there are times when you might think, oh, I could have said more, or I should have explained it differently, or I should have explained this better. But just know that you said exactly what you needed to, or exactly what that person could hear. Sometimes we're guided not to say too much or to go into further detail because it just sends the other person into overload and overwhelm. It's too much to take in. So trust that too, and know that you probably are sharing or saying everything you need to say in the most perfect way, and that the journey continues. At the start of the show, I mentioned how this was called life cycle stages, and that's because the cycle continues, and there are probably going to be new topics, new philosophies and areas that you will be exploring. And you will be brand new to the information. And so how would you want someone to speak to you? For example, if you're brand new to yoga, all of the fancy names for the poses could seem overwhelming. Or all the different types of yoga might be confusing. And so how would you want someone to explain it to you? Or perhaps you're exploring Buddhism or something else that's new to you. And this is why it's a cycle, right? Because we're always a student in something. And it's the person who is respectful to you, who's practical and kind, that you will remember as being a good teacher and important on your journey. And that's what I hope this show reminds you of, and how you are important to other people on their journey. So I hope this was good, and I hope that it answered a lot of questions, because I know a lot of you are connecting with people who are brand new to this stuff, and it's like, how do I talk to them? What do I say? Well, I hope this helps break it down. Next week on the show, I'm going to be answering your spiritual questions, and there's some really good ones coming in, as always, because you guys rock. If you have a question, there is still time to send it in for me to answer on the April 30th show. Please send me your questions no later than April 28th, and I will make sure and include them in the broadcast. And know that if you feel guided to ask a question, it's because there are other people who are holding that question as well and are looking for the answer. So one way that we can assist each other on our journey. As always, I greatly appreciate your time. Thank you for being here. I wish you a magical, powerful week ahead. And if you want to listen to any more of these shows, you can find them all here on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes. So on that note, my friend, I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite songs. Okay, have a great day ahead, and thanks so much for being here. Namaste.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see? stand.